Hey everybody, and welcome to another edition of Wrestling with Death. I am your ghost host with the most, the Reaper, Matt Connard, and today on the podcast I have a former IWC Tag Team Champion in the form of Remy LeVay.
What's going on, everybody?
What's up, Remy?
Matt, proud to be here, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming over doing this.
The last car ride we had, you were super tired and I was all hopped up on caffeine, right, and just rambling. And when we got out of the car, I was like, that would have been a good podcast, even though it was just me rambling.
Yeah, well, but that's really all I hope for in a podcast guest, is me just to say something and them go as long as they want and I can just listen.
Just to carry it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm no Ty Cross, but, you know, I'll do my best here.
No.
But I am happy to finally do it. I mean, I know you took a break, a little hiatus for a while. You were doing it before, right?
Yeah, I was doing it for a while, like 2 years ago.
And then, is this the same setup or is this a little upgrade?
Well, I mean, it's the same setup mostly. I got new equipment and I got a new format to the show. So, but the message remains the same.
Better now then. Now on the updated platform.
Certainly better. I'd tell you to go listen to the other ones for reference, but they're all gone. So.
Oh, shit.
No one can touch them.
The hosting?
Yeah, I traded those out. So, let's start. Where does your wrestling journey begin? Just your wrestling journey. Where do you start your trek to the wrestling business?
Before I started training, you mean?
How'd you come to start training?
Well, essentially, me and my friend Tyler, who is one of my roommates, been one of my best friends now for, like 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
He is someone who I had always seen around from going to shows and kind of just being a part of like the local hardcore music scene in Pittsburgh. And I'd always seen him at shows and our paths had crossed a couple times. This is like mid-2000s, like growing up going to shows. Mm. And I mean, I always knew that he really liked wrestling and people would told me, mutual friends had told me that we would really get along because of, you know, how much we both really liked wrestling. And once we started hanging out, he pretty much like got me all caught up on like anything I had missed, because I was always down with wrestling, but in the mid-2000s I was just super focused on like doing my bands and doing my music and stuff. And like, to be honest, I didn't watch it regularly. Like, I didn't watch every week. I wasn't really keeping up. So once me and Tyler became super close, as we were getting close, it was like pretty much all through wrestling. And he kind of took me under his wing and showed me a lot of the awesome, like, I knew I had a general idea about like indies and who the certain guys were, but I had never really gone to like a local indie show. And he started taking me to IWC. This is probably like 2009.
Yeah.
He started taking me to IWC and we were traveling up to some CZWs in Philly. And pretty much just me and him became really close through kind of like the vehicle of wrestling, and everything was wrestling again for me. And I kind of just reconnected it. It kind of reconnected with it, kind of started watching it differently and started, you know, paying attention to the more technical in-ring side. And essentially, we just started going to a ton of local shows and was just being a super indie mark and going to shows and trying to talk to as many people as I could and as many of the local guys as I could. And pretty much just decided to at least give it a try, that I wanted to try out, and that this was something that I really wanted to actually give a legit shot. I mean, I didn't think I was going to pass the tryout, to be quite honest, but I knew that I wanted to try. And I think that I definitely wasn't ready for training, like when I started, but the training process, like once I realized that, like, okay, like it's time to see if you can really do this,
right?
Don't waste your time. You know, don't waste anyone else's time. And essentially just was, you know, trying to see if it was something that, A, I was really truly, you know, able to do physically.
So you settle on IWC as the place to go. Who, tell me about the tryout. I'm always curious about how people, how company.
It's a good story.
Yeah, I want to hear about this. So tell me about how a tryout experience goes for you.
All right, so this was, I believe, April of 2013. I want to try it out. It's either 2012 or 2013. Mm-hmm. I get that mixed up all the time. I think it was 2012. And yeah, because I trained through. Yeah, it would have been 2012. Mm. Pretty sure, which is really weird to think about now.
Yeah.
But essentially, me and my roommate Tyler both decided that we were going to do the tryout. And pretty much just decided with IWC because I had been going to their shows locally, and I had been seeing some of the guys that they were bringing in, and I just figured, I was just really impressed by the overall package and impressed by the names they were bringing in and all the local guys. And I was like, wow, like, this is a really awesome, legit company. I know that if I go here that I'm going to at least, you know, learn from some people who are good, and, you know, I don't want to get into this and do it the wrong way. I looked at it as like a fresh start. Mm. And I remember the first time driving out to the facility, which is off of 51. Mm. And like, I grew up like around like Hampton, Fox Chapel, Aetna, like South Hills is not a stomping ground for me. Mm. Never has been. I despise 51. I always hated driving out there. Not for any other reason other than just, I don't know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Stress me out. So the morning of the tryout, I remember that the address to the building, it's like Cochran Mills Road, I think is where the school is. But Chuck at the time had sent us Cochran Mill. It was literally the difference of like an S or like a, you know, a plural street name.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting literally in someone's like backwoods, like grass driveway thing where my GPS is taking me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, this can't be it. Mm-hmm. But you know, wrestling school, I'm like, oh, this could be it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm looking around. My roommate Tyler, at this point, he's calling me. He can't find the place. Eventually, I finally get to the school. So I'm all flustered because I'm running late now. I was lost, you know? I was stressed out. I'm already stressed out about the tryout. And I get there, and it was Idol, who ended up being my primary trainer, I guess. Chuck and Palace was in the class right before my class. Mm-hmm. So Palace was finishing up his training when I did my tryout, or almost finishing up. But he was doing really well out the gate, of course, and was just helping out with training, you know, doing the tryouts and helping out with training other people coming in. Mm. My roommate Tyler finally got there, and we both did the tryout, and I thought that, you know, I thought that I did okay. It was a lot of just kind of flopping around, and can you do push-ups, and like that stuff. I've always been able to do that stuff. Like physically, I was confident once the tryout started because I felt like I could do enough to show them like, hey, like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, but he can at least fall down and we can kind of take what he's got, show him the way, you know, he at least can physically handle it.
You're coachable.
I'm coachable. I felt confident in the fact that I felt confident after the trial, essentially, but I didn't think that anything was really going to come of it. Mm. And after the tryout, we got a call about a week or so later. We both got a call, and my roommate Tyler decided not to pursue it. And I was like, all right, well, I definitely think I really want to do this for sure. I want to show them that, you know, I can do this and I can rise to the occasion and commit to the grind of training. And it was definitely a and like I said, like it was the first thing in my life in a long time where I felt like I really, really had to give something my all and kind of change up myself for training. You know, I had to get on a better schedule, and there was also just like a lot going on in my life at that time. It kind of all coincides around start my journey beginning into training, and a lot of just personal stuff, and I was getting ready to try and move out of my house, my home, with, you know, my family and stuff. And everyone was actually kind of like moving. My family was kind of like starting to spread out all over the country, so it was a hectic time. It was definitely a time where I felt like it definitely felt like a time to turn a new page. You know, I was the only one to make it. I think I'm the only one, period, from my class that's like still even wrestling, period. So, and I think, and there was all kinds of people in my class. You know, there were muscly guys and super athletic guys, and we had a girl, and it kind of just showed that, like, I bet you, like, and like, I guarantee you, no one thought, I've had people tell me this, you know, no one thought that I was going to be the one to last. I think that was because of my band and stuff like that. People thought that my interests were kind of divided. But in reality, it's like music and wrestling is really the only two things I've ever cared about. So a lot of people just didn't have the thick skin. And a lot of people just didn't know what they were getting themselves into. It's like, it just always confuses me when people aren't really... If you're a fan of the business, you should know kind of how the business works. And especially on just breaking in or training or anything like that on the greener side of things, like... It just surprised me. A lot of people didn't want to do the work, or a lot of people just didn't want to, or were really surprised when they were, you know, faced with a crazy training scenario or a long night of loading the truck or something. Like, once you even start, you know, it's like you have to have that thick skin, but I loved it. I knew exactly what I was getting myself into. I knew exactly how everything was going to go in terms of just responsibilities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how, and all that stuff. I was prepared. And that, I think that helped me.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take this chance to cut to a break, and when we come back, we'll be back with Remy LeVay.
ProWrestlingTees.com/Matt Connard. What? You expecting more? We have more show to go to. What? Go buy a shirt. What more do you want? Don't have time to put all these bells and whistles in these commercials all the time. ProWrestlingTees.com/Matt Connard. Buy a shirt. And maybe, you know, lower your expectations. So, that's all I have. ProWrestlingTees.com/Matt Connard. Go, go. It's more show. Go.
And we're back with Remy LeVay. You brought it up several times in the opening about your background with music. Coming from kind of traveling band background, did that equip you well for starting to travel on the road?
Oh my God.
When you started wrestling?
For sure, man. That's something that I'm... It's one of those things where you kind of look back and you look at what I look at what I'm doing now, and I look back on those years, and I can always reference certain things from touring or certain similarities now when I'm on the road wrestling. I mean, the great thing about wrestling is that you don't have to be gone for months at a time. You have time to kind of come home and have a life during the week. And be able to handle your business during the week, and then on the weekend you get to go and travel around and come back. It's pretty much the same, except, you know, you're kind of just by yourself now. I'm kind of just on my own with wrestling, but you get to still share it with all your friends, you know, with all you guys and all the boys. Like, I really like that aspect. That's very similar. But I'm also really happy that, and this is something I noticed when I started wrestling, was that it is separate from all my friends. It is separate from all my, you know, band friends and all that stuff. And they're super supportive. It doesn't mean, you know, that they're not supportive. It's just, it's nice to have something that's kind of like my own thing. But I would say, yeah, from being in a band, definitely just learning how to live uncomfortably without a shower and pretty much just how to promote yourself and get your merch out there and get your name out there and hustle. Yeah. I'm really thankful for those years and experiences. And it just, like I said, like I've was used to playing in front of no one, playing in front of better crowds. Mm-hmm. And that's how indie wrestling is too. It's actually kind of scary or kind of weird how similar they are, but also very different. But yeah, those years definitely really helped me just traveling, you know, being in a van or being in a car for a long time. I mean, essentially, it just kind of was training me without knowing it. And I've, not just with wrestling, but just in life, I find a lot of those years of traveling and being in a band have definitely shaped just who I am and kind of my skill set and my quirks and stuff. So being able to use that in wrestling has definitely helped me in a lot of ways. Keeps things fresh, keeps you kind of on your toes in terms of, you know, what you can do for yourself.
When you started traveling at a young age within the business, did you notice things were very different from locker room to locker room, or did you think things were pretty much the same?
No, definitely things were different when I first started. I was really nervous and really shy, kind of, and just overwhelmed. And Gory and Facade were some of the first guys that kind of took me under their wing in terms of like throwing me in the car and taking me to West Virginia and taking me to Ohio and stuff like that. And I would literally just get thrown in matches with them. And if you know how they are, they can, you know, call a match in their sleep. Mm-hmm. And I'm freaking out trying to remember everything. And but the locker rooms, I don't really have any negative memories of a specific locker room. Well, there's a few, but there's far more positive memories. Yeah. And far more positive locker rooms out there. But I feel like the longer that you kind of are in the business and the more you become kind of one of the guys and you make more friends, that kind of goes away, that nervousness. Mm-hmm. Some people get into the business. You have like an Argos who doesn't seem nervous, has never seemed nervous. I remember the first day I met him, you know? And like being like that, it has to be a blessing because I was just super shy and super quiet and nervous, and it was obvious to everyone. So the locker rooms, when I first started out, you know, I was just trying to stay out of everyone's way and just was just literally just happy to be there and just tried to keep my mouth shut and my ears open. I just kind of would stick with, you know, the people that I was already tight with from training and kind of just naturally progressed. But traveling along, you know, it's definitely intimidating at first because you're in a new area and you're meeting a lot of new guys. They're not the guys that you've watched from your hometown or from your kind of like home base. They're new guys and it's a new feeling. It's a new company, a new promoter. You know, some shows I learned really quick that some shows, you know, certain things are cool and certain things are definitely not cool. And it kind of just, it's just like, you know, going back to the music thing, just playing different venues, different promoters, it's very similar, you know, meeting up with different bands. And just like wrestling, you go to a new town, you go to a new state, and you kind of get that vibe and made a lot of good friends that way too.
When you started in the business, you were in a tag team called Knight Riders, correct?
Is yes, that your name? with Sam.
Yeah. What,
Sam Cassidy.
Were you comfortable in that role? Did you feel like as a fitter, was that something you really had to adjust to as far as like that being an extension of you? Did you feel uncomfortable or was it pretty easy for you to slide into?
I kind of pitched the idea. We never really got to do the full idea that I wanted to do, where I essentially wanted to make it like a super retro 80s tag team in terms of like the aesthetics and like the promos and stuff like that. I wanted it to have that VHS like throwback kind of like synth wave feel. And that kind of came about because me and Sam were starting to tag in other companies and we kind of pitched it to Chuck, I think at the time. Maybe it was Yeah, it was. Chuck was on his way out. It was like right before Plummer, or right around the time that Plummer was taking over. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just went to Sam and I was like, listen, like, why don't we just try and pitch this to Chuck and Plummer and try and do this at IWC because it's working for both. Like, and you got to keep in mind, like, we were just starting out. So we were like, hey, like, we're both not very good on our own. So let's just do a tag team and try and figure it out that way. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of good memories of doing that. And I mean, I'll be honest, it helped us get booked for sure. I kind of saw that, like, Sam was definitely physically the more athletic one. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I could mix his athleticism with kind of my personality and that we could actually make something kind of edgy and cool. And like I said, like, we never really got to do the full... It never got to really see its full potential, but I had a lot of cool ideas to do with it in terms of, like, promos and the aesthetics.
Yeah.
Of the tag team, but I love tag team wrestling. I really do. We definitely didn't know anything about tag team wrestling when we were doing it. Mm-hmm. And we definitely had some stiff matches with, like the Fathers and like Denny and, Vegas. Like, they pretty much put us in line, not maliciously, mm-hmm. but everyone that we worked with, like, made sure we were taken care of, but we literally, it took us a while. It took me personally a while to learn those do's and don'ts of tag wrestling, mm-hmm. which seems so obvious, but until you think about it or until you're taught that, it's something that you just don't even think about, I feel like. Yeah. At least I didn't personally. Yeah. But I really liked doing the Knight Riders and I miss Sam a lot. He pretty much decided to stop wrestling and I just kept going, kept doing my thing.
Right.
But yeah, that I have a lot of good memories. We got to work with Morgan as our manager. And mm-hmm. like, I really had a lot of fun doing Knight Riders at Black Diamond at the old Wheeling at the Eagles. Yeah. And we got to work with a lot of good teams there. We got to work with, we were supposed to work Purple Rain. That never got to happen. Mm-hmm. We got to work System Elite. We got to work with Chris. I think we did like a 2-on-1 match. After that, Purple Rain.
You guys were Gory and I in that tournament.
Yep. Yep. Was at the Royal
tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that building. And that was that. Those are really it's crazy to think it does feel a long time ago from now. Mm-hmm. Feels like it was a long time ago, but it also feels like it was just yesterday at the same time.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of really good memories just traveling with Sam. I mean, he was legit my best friend in terms of like, me and him were legit boys. Like, we legit hung out. And we were so different. Like, I always tell people that, like, just looking at us, you'd think that, like, I'm the crazy one and he was the normal one. Mm-hmm. Just based on appearance. But when you got to know us, far more people, I think, will tell you that Sam was the crazy one and that I was the more down-to-earth one. Mm. Which is funny. But we got along. And like I said, we were kind of like the last two in our class to even see the whole thing through and commit to IWC.
Yeah. Sam calls it quits. He splits. A lot of times when you're in a tag team, that tag team's kind of your identity. And Sam cuts loose. Do you have trouble finding your own identity after that? Do you struggle with finding who you are as a character outside of that tag team?
I don't think that I struggled finding myself in terms of my character. I felt like I kind of needed that kick in the ass to bring those ideas and bring that vibe and kind of challenge myself to step up and say, okay, because I'm not going to lie. Like, I wouldn't say like I like rested on Sam, but like I said, like, it was getting us booked. It was 50-50 when you're in a tag team. Mm. The drives are 50-50. You know, I had Sam to kind of like lean on a little bit and just rely on. And I kind of just got used to, you know, doing the Knight Riders and being booked as a tag team and planning a tag team match and thinking in terms of tag team. And to have your partner kind of just like up and leave that soon and like that early, like that soon after even just debuting on the shows or, you know, officially, I guess you could say graduating, that was definitely like a wrench in the works, and I didn't know what to do. And I was definitely shook. I was bummed. I was actually really bummed at the time. And it's crazy because that something like that can really affect everything. It affects you. It affects your bookings. It affects, you know, your hometown bookings. Mm-hmm. So pretty much I was like, I kind of was panicked for like a week or two, or a little period there. And then I remember just being like, all right, well, it's time to step up and, you know, prove to everyone, prove to myself too, that I could be a singles wrestler, and that I could start being more of myself, or being more of the character that I kind of wanted to put across.
Right.
Elements from the Knight Riders and that kind of like aesthetic transferred for sure. But I was excited with the idea, but I was also nervous because I knew it was going to be, you know, a lot of a big step. But it ended up being the step I needed to take, mm-hmm. you know, looking back on it now. But at the time, I remember just being nervous, but determined as well. Like, you know, I definitely wanted to prove to everyone that I could bring my weird kind of creative side into my character, or just the stuff that I'm into. I've always tried to subtly bring the weird stuff that I'm into into wrestling, that most wrestling fans, or I feel most other wrestlers, you know, aren't too hip on or keen. I always try and bring like my weirdo flavors to the table.
All right, we're going to take one more break with Remy and we'll be back.
All right, guys, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Wrestling Death, me at Reaper Matt C, and my guest at Remy LeVay. So, do that or don't. But, you know, do. All right, back to the show.
And we're back with Remy LeVay. So
how long has this been already? I feel like I'm just talking too much.
I mean, that's kind of what the podcast is based around, is you talking. So.
All right.
All
right. I am a notorious rambler.
How long till you get put in the tag team with Keith?
Well, it felt like I was just sitting on the bench for IWC for a long time. And that's kind of where you know, to be honest, that's where it hurt the most, was I was getting all these opportunities and I was traveling and I was doing a lot of single stuff and kind of getting my confidence up. And it seemed like I was succeeding with that everywhere but IWC. And IWC was going through a lot of changes on, you know, in the company, and in terms of Chuck stepping down and Justin taking over. I can't remember if we started tagging at IWC first or if we started tagging at Black Diamond first. I don't really remember.
Right.
But Keith is the best. Love Keith. Have known Keith before I even started training. I mean, he was one of the guys that I knew about as the Notorious Jester from going to KSWA. And I remember going to one of the first KSWAs and just seeing Keith and being like, yo, you know what you're doing. You know what's up. Keep doing your thing. Keep grinding. And I think it was shortly after that little period of time where this would have been, what, 2 years ago now? That IWC wanted to put me and Keith together as a team. And we were both like, you want to do this? Yeah, of course. And I've been with him ever since.
Being a trainee of that company, coming out of their school,
right.
What does it mean for you to come all the way around and win the IWC Tag Team Championships?
That was, I mean, it sounds kind of corny, you know, but in reality, it's really not. I mean, that is, the title is one thing, but there's so much more, and I know that you can relate to this because you're an old school guy. There's so much more in winning a title that goes into the actual decision, you know? It's people's beliefs in you. Mm-hmm. It's everything you've done up until that point. It's recognition. And I truly felt rewarded for my hard work, for my loyalty to the company that trained me. And my patience, you know? I knew that it was going to be worth it. and it ended up all being worth it, especially for that one night. It was an awesome night. Couldn't have asked for a cooler way to win the straps. And, you know, my dad was there. It was just really cool. It was, well, some of my friends were there. And it kind of came out of nowhere, because I think that that decision was kind of like up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's easily, you know, the biggest show that IWC does every year.
Yeah.
And to go from training and working those shows and driving the truck out there with Sam, you know, and watching the show as a trainee, just hoping and thinking, you know, I hope that, you know, I can work on one of these shows one day. To have it kind of come full circle, it was surreal. It was inspiring. It was a super just feel good moment in terms of, like I said, like, I didn't go to school after high school. I went to wrestling school. That's what I always say. I didn't pursue a higher education.
Yeah.
But so for me, it was like a real accomplishment. You know, it was real validation, and it was just, hey, like, you do belong. This is what you're meant to be doing. Because I'm not one of those people that, a lot of people, I think, too, I think it might just be because I'm a little bit older and, for lack of better words, maybe just more life experience. But, you know, I'm someone that questions my life, my existence, like, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice to have that kind of internal justification, that internal verification of, like, yo, This feels right. This feels great. This is what you're supposed to be doing. You made a right decision. And if everything would have ended, like, you know, after that night, I think I would have been happy. Not just because I want a belt, whatever, but just everything kind of coming together in terms of, you know, the company's belief in me and Keith kind of pushing me and staying super positive.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more cynical. I'm in real life, like, I'm a little bit more cynical, maybe a little bit more pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith really kept me going.
What do you have left that you want to do in wrestling? Because obviously there's so much left you could, but what's in your personal crosshairs coming, like, going forward?
I'm at a very strange point in my life where I feel like, I feel like I've let, I wouldn't say complacent. I don't think I've let myself get complacent or get too comfortable, but I definitely feel like it's time to kick it up a notch. It's time to take that next step. And but like I said, it all comes down to just being, like, super real with yourself. There's definitely things I would love to do. I'd love to go overseas. I would love to go to Japan. I would obviously love to get an opportunity to work some bigger names. Work some people that will help make me better. And essentially, if it's going to be, like, on a bigger platform, or, like, if we're talking about going WWE or something like that, I know that there's a lot more that I need to do personally. You know, I'm very, very hard on myself when it comes to that, that kind of thing. And I think that if I can tame some of my bad habits and some of my just procrastinating, that I can start to at least take the right step towards maybe doing this on a bigger level.
Right.
But I'm also just, it's weird. I it's really dualistic, man, because I'm super happy just doing this now, like, how it is now. Like, every step is progress. But you obviously get in your own head, and it's sometimes it does kind of seem like you're just, your week's just a loop repeating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want it to ever start to feel, you know, like it's on, like, a routine. Coming up on 4 years now, it doesn't even feel like it, you know? And I'm super stoked on everything I have accomplished, but this is around that time to just kind of buckle down, and there's a lot of things I'd like to do. I'd really like to check out the ROH camps. I'd really like to travel a little bit more. I've gotten to do some cool traveling. I got to go and train with my friend Brody out in LA at the Santino Brothers School.
Mm-hmm.
and cool stuff like that. I'd like to do more of that stuff. I think it's just hard when you're trying to be, when you have to be a grown-up and you have a life outside of wrestling. I try and keep wrestling. I try and make wrestling my life as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And block everything else out. I think that that's ideally the best situation. But in reality, you know, I'm getting older and I have real life responsibilities. You know how it is. You understand.
Yeah. Adulting sucks.
What do you think? What do you think in terms... I mean, you've been at it for a minute and you've done and traveled pretty much everywhere. What's left? How do you think in terms of what it kind of takes mentally to make that next step? I feel like you and me have a lot in common, but I feel like you are the more mentally disciplined. You have more discipline. You're like the more disciplined version of me.
That's a fun comparison. It's all about setting your mind to it, I think. You have to get in a headspace where you're willing to just put the work in and do whatever you need to give it a
right.
To give it a full-on go.
Just like that feeling from training. And I feel like there's so much once you finish training, like, you're like, okay, now I'm done with training, so I need to actually learn how to fucking really do this. Because in training, you're learning, at least for me personally, I learned pretty much how to do the moves. And that was it. That's really all I felt like I learned in my training. Everything else I've learned from the boys and from the car rides and stuff. Like, and the fact that you never stop learning with this, just like music, just like, you know, there's always room to grow and there's always room to adapt.
Before we get out of here, Remy, we like to play a game.
Yes.
You want to play?
Yes. It's time to play the game.
Time to play the game! I'm going to give you a choice.
All right.
Either do a game called Trivia Takedown or do a game called Tag Rap.
Is this wrestling related or non-wrestling related?
No, these games are wrestling related.
All right, what is Tag Rat?
Tag Rat is I give you a professional wrestler's name, and you have to name every person they've either been in a tag team or held a tag team championship with.
Good Lord. Okay, what's the other one?
To shorten the list, the tag teams they've been in have to have a name.
Okay.
Like, they can't just be random tagmen. They'd have to have a name. A team name, or they had to have a championship with them.
Okay.
And the other game is just wrestling trivia questions. I give you a trivia question that has multiple choice answer, and then you pick one of the multiple choice answers.
I think I want to go with Tag Rat.
Tag Rat? All right. We are going to go...
this is going to be awful.
With Tag Rat. All right. Would you like... I'm going to give you... How many guys do I have? I'm going to give you four wrestlers' names. You pick which one you think you would do the best at. Lance Storm, okay. Rey Mysterio, Kane, or Jericho.
This is who I would do the best
with? Yeah, who do you think... who do you think you can pull their tag partners
Kane,
the best?
Mysterio?
Jericho. Or Lance Storm.
Now they're tagging with me, or I'm working against.
No, them. You're listing people they've tagged with.
Oh, okay.
In the business.
Okay. I'll go with Kane.
You want to go with Kane?
Yeah.
All right. Kane has had 1, 2, 3, 4, 7.
Okay.
So you at least have to get 5 of these to win.
All right. Good Lord. All right. There was Brothers of Destruction, of course.
Name the
with the Undertaker.
Yeah, Undertaker. There's one.
Was it the Red and Green Machine with X-Pac? Was that what they were called?
Yeah, X-Pac. That's another
one. And Tori.
That's two.
All right. Kane and Daniel Bryan, Team Hell No.
Yep, that's three.
All right. Did Corporate Kane hold a title?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to have to cut you off here at some point, man.
All right, cut me off. I think that's it. I had the three.
All right.
Those are the three I could remember.
All right. Well.
What did I miss?
You missed the Big Show.
I knew it. I knew that he had to have done something with Show, but I didn't know if they had a name or not.
Hurricane.
Yeah.
Rob Van Dam. They were tagged
in
before he took his mask off.
Yeah, in the 2000s, yeah.
And Mankind.
And Foley, yeah.
Yeah.
I should have gotten those. Yeah. I just didn't guess. I was trying to think, I don't know, I guess trying to think of more of just, like, the gimmick teams. I couldn't think of it.
This is really hard for me to decide what game to play with you, because I know sometimes your focus can be out of focus.
Yeah, it's okay. Not today. I'm pretty focused today. I got this Red Bull. We're good.
Before we get out of here, you want to plug your social media shit and tell people where they can support you and all that good stuff?
For sure. You can find me on Facebook. I'm pretty sure it's just Remy LaVey. At R-E-M-Y-L-A-V-E-Y. At Remy LaVey on Twitter and Instagram. And you can get a hold of me on there if you want to reach out to me, shoot me a message. And I think that's all of them. Pretty much Remy LaVey on everything.
Easy enough.
Easy enough. No weird stuff. Just one word.
All right. Well, thanks for doing this, Remy.
Dude, it's been awesome. As you know, I've secretly wanted to do it for a long time.
Right.
So I'm glad that we finally got to do it. It was sick. I hope that it's not too long.
No.
And that people can actually make it this long.
Well,
make it through.
That's the beauty of editing software. I can cut down anything not necessary.
Yeah. Please trim some of the rambling down. For sure.
I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to. But it'll be good. It'll be good.
I don't know if it's going to be as good as the Ty Cross episode, but we'll try.
He's really putting his episode over.
I know. I love him. I love him.
Marcus is going to come out before yours, and he's not going to take kindly to you putting Ty's over so much.
You're going to need to make that a disc set, a box set, the Marcus one. Get an external hard drive for that. No, but I actually do look forward to that one. I enjoy all the guests you've been having. It's good. We both drive around and in our cars a lot, so we're both podcast guys, and having this has been sick. Right. So I can't wait to listen.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks again, Remy.
Thank you, brother. And thanks for having me, man.
For Remy LaVey, I'm Matt Connard. Until next time, stay cool, Wolves.
How long? I didn't get to listen to the one that you did with Ty and Edric yet. How long did that end up being?
That ended up being an hour.
Is it loud?
Oh.
With the show going on?
Yeah, you can hear the band playing in the background.
Oh my god, the band.
Yeah.
That band.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
I didn't...
The best part was I thought that they were part of Edric's Are You Afraid of These Scary Stories thing?
Because
the guy had the shirt on?
Right, you thought they were... They're his friends or something.
Yeah, and I just started talking to him. I was like, I love the podcast. Are you scared of these stories? And he's just like, yeah, man, yeah.
Yeah,
cool. I told Edric, and he's like, yeah, they're not with me at all. And I was like, oh, fuck. He's like, yeah, they're the band that's playing. And I was like, band?